You're going to do a song for us, right?
Yes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay.
Sing it if you know it. Tuesday, you know what I mean, right? You made me meet
to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, May 28th. This is the Drop Podcast. We are in tears because that may have been the greatest cold open we've ever seen and heard. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling with the homie, Tass Bellis.
Hey, everybody. Peanut Butter Friday.
Oh, my goodness. We got my Top Shot Hot Boy, fellow freak. He is crying right now with tears. Trey Kirby. Yeah, say hello to that.
So good. So good.
The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Yeah, friend, you got to have bacon on your t-shirt, is that right?
And last but not least, making that magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. This is going to be a fun Drop Podcast, if you can't tell. Wow, JD, the back-to-back whistle man with the remix there. I didn't see that coming.
You know I love a slow burn, Skeets. Love a slow burn.
I mean, people were loving the actual whistle clip cold open yesterday, and then this very strange version, which was even funnier. Like, we were, like, we're backstage in this StreamYard thing, and I'm just watching everybody else, and, like, everybody's, like, doubled over trying to catch themselves for the start of the show. Anyway.
Sing it if you know it. What a line.
Sing it. And the reactions of the kids, like, just dumbfounded. What's going on? Make sure, if you're listening to this podcast, to at least jump over to No Dunks on YouTube to check out that clip. And shout out to the stream team joining us live. They saw it. What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Smash that like button. Leave your comments. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We just eclipsed 39,000 subs. So can we find another 1,000 heroes this weekend to get to 40K? No, the answer is no. It'll probably take a couple weeks, but that's all right. We're getting closer and closer to 40K. And thank you so much to everybody that has subscribed. Send in your questions and your comments for the next Beach Devin podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in, @NoDunksInc. And finally, go grab yourself some sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. We got the t-shirts, hoodies, shorts, coffee mugs, a whole bunch of stuff there. So go to nodunks.com to get your No Dunks merch. All right, Friday podcast. We got rapid fire fun at the end. I actually have a few, like, overarching playoff questions for you guys because we're basically, you know, 1 week in to the playoffs. But we'll get to those in a second because we got to do some game recaps from Thursday night, three games on. Tass, get us started, man. Lakers, celebrate the playoff homecoming. It's been a while there for a Lakers playoff game in the Staples Center. 109-95 win over the Suns, though, in Game 3. What's the big takeaway from Tass Mellis here today?
Well, I think on the Lakers side, the best player in the series has arrived. And on the Suns side, arguably their best player just, he can't play. He's trying to fight through it, but Chris Paul ain't there. Let's start with the Lakers, though. LeBron James has arrived. It took him... Yeah, 2.5 games to fully get into LeBron mode, but he's, you know, he kind of played us like he always does. Mm-hmm. First 2.5 games, controlled the game from the elbow, making passes while the double teams came to him because he deserved that gravity and he was finding everybody. But then in the second half of this game, when he needed to turn on, when he decided, all right, we gave you game one, Second game, we figured it out. Game three, what Magic Johnson calls the most pivotal game in a series. I got to turn it on right here. So the second half, he got stone-faced, and he started driving to the hoop for the first time in the series. He became what we've all known as LeBron James, that locomotive going into the lane. He had a dunk on the first possession. Mm-hmm. Then he hit that off-balance jumper. Then he set up Anthony Davis, then Drummond, then two powerful drives midway through the third, getting to the hoop, you know, with the chest pumping, the thumping of the chest. That's the LeBron we know midway through the third. That's when he fully arrived, and then everybody paying attention to him. So then Anthony Davis could go off. So that's the 1-2 combo that they signed up for. And LeBron, he knows he has to bide his time a little bit, being 36 years old, and he finally arrived, and it was just – it was too much for the Suns to handle, especially with Chris Paul. He's out there. He's fighting through it. I thought he looked a little better from game two than game two because he was, you know, kind of getting into his shots, kind of getting into the mid-range more, but he can't shoot a three-point shot. Mm-hmm. He literally hasn't shot a three-point shot since the first quarter of game one. And you take that away for a basketball player, from a guy, from a guard that really, you know, needs to stretch out the floor for the Suns team, and you're just kind of taking away the lifeblood of this Suns team, especially being that emotional leader. Everybody knows on his team that he's not 100%. So that's a real punch to the gut for the Suns. And then I was wrong about Devin Booker. I thought he'd have a bounce back game, but the Lakers really, really got under his skin as you saw him shove Dennis Schroeder with 30 seconds left and get ejected from the game.
Yeah.
They did a great job of getting under his skin, and this being his first postseason, Devin Booker didn't handle it all that well. He needed to be a superstar with Chris Paul not being who he is. So the Lakers have shown here that they are the favorites in the Western Conference because LeBron, when he takes it to this level, and he's got Anthony Davis playing at a great level too, what is there to say? The Suns need to be 100%, and they are not.
Lots to dissect there, and I want to go to the Chris Paul there, Lee. Do you think maybe he should be coming off the bench? Should he not start? Should they go to campaign more? Because I think Tass is right. I mean, he's struggling to get shots up. He won't take threes. He's still struggling to make cross-court passes because his arm's, like, sort of hanging off. He's playing with one arm, basically. Is it crazy to maybe try someone else? And maybe you find minutes in a six-man role for him, a seventh-man role for him? Like, I just don't know if he can be out here for obviously a good chunk of time. Like, what do you do if you're the Suns going into Game 4 in sort of a must-win game?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's worth a shot just to try to get some energy in that starting unit, but it's not really going to make any difference. You're just shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic at this point because the Lakers are too good, and they're looking it, and they're really showing it out. And Chris Paul, it's so sad to see that it's happened to him once again, because he's just not himself. And so Monty Williams is trying to sort of hide him as best he can and try to get any production out of him. But Chris Paul just can't play as well as we know he can. And that this has just really taken, it's sort of deflated this series, really, for me, because when, you know, they won that game, of course, he got injured in the first game. But up until that point, it was like, this is really exciting to see if the Suns can be more than just a regular season team. But unfortunately now, without him, as the player we know he is, they've got no chance whatsoever. And I saw his post-game press conference, and you could just hear it in his voice. I mean, they're down, obviously, in the series, but he's just like, what can he do? I mean, even if you bring him off the bench, how productive is he going to be against the second unit when you know the Lakers have got so many guys they can just throw at him anyway to get into his grill? So they made a fake comeback last night, the Suns. It was never really going to happen. They must just be so frustrated with everything. And, you know, when your best player goes down, your options are limited because they're just not deep enough. And you want to see a guy, someone step up, like Jay Crowder. But we've seen this story before with him where he's either feast or famine. He's Davis Bertans, really. He's either hits everything or he can't hit a single shot.
Right, yeah.
You know, and he's, you know, trying to get in LeBron's face there. But that's the thing. The Suns now know that this series is over in five games. I can't see them possibly winning a game out now because they just can't do it. So to answer your question, try it, sure, but what's it really going to do? Nothing, I don't think. If you know, if Chris Paul is the player that he is out there on the court, it really doesn't matter how many minutes he's playing because he's just not effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, flashbacks to LeBron against the Raptors, toying with them in playoff games and series with what he was doing in the second half, especially like Tass said, Trey, where he was like, okay, I'll start attacking and I'll start like putting my imprint on this game. And oh yeah, Jay Crowder's on me. Well, I'll just like post him up like I'm MJ here and have Andre Drummond miming him on the sidelines.
Ridiculous
and
stuff.
Then, yeah, spinning, obviously baseline, beautiful finish. And yeah, he sort of clowned them there in the second half. And that's what people are wondering. Like, not only did they win the game, the Lakers, last night, and yeah, there's the Chris Paul injury and that sucks, but it's like, their attitude felt like, yeah, guys, you don't have a chance against us. Chris Paul or not, especially when LeBron's locked in. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I go back to LeBron versus the Raptors. Was this 2016? The Raptors took a 2-0 lead, and LeBron basically said, this is not an adverse situation for me.
Yeah.
And that was in the Eastern Conference Finals. We're talking about the first round against the Suns team that is making their debut with their leader clearly hampered. So this also was LeBron's first home playoff game as a Laker. The Lakers' first home playoff game since 2013. There was no way they were going to lose this game. And yeah, the LeBron stuff, it's just like, he'll give you 10 minutes here and there during the first round of a game. A first round game. He'll give you 10 minutes of being the best player in the world. And a lot of the time, that's really all that matters. That's all that he has to do to put the Lakers ahead and to kind of show the other team, I'm ready whenever I need to be. This is an all-time LeBron rope-a-dope. The guy sprained his ankle on March 20th. That's 2 months ago. And we're still hearing he won't be healthy until the end of the season, despite the fact he's taking everybody off the dribble, throwing down dunks in half court. I'm sure he's more hurt than he has ever been.
Yeah.
Certainly he's got a little bit of rust. You see times where he passes the ball and there's a Laker cutting from the wing and the ball just goes to the bench. But LeBron is fine. Like, he is going to be fine. He's going to be fine to go deep into the finals. This injury, this so-called injury, zero concern for me, because LeBron will turn it on whenever he wants. And then they've also got the other best player on the court as well. AD looking like the best player in the world in the third quarter, 18 points. And the crazy thing is that DeAndre Ayton is playing pretty well. He's staying on the court, which has been really impressive in his first playoffs. He's shooting like 82% from the field.
Yeah.
And it does not matter at all because Anthony Davis is just on another level.
What did you think about the Booker ejection there, Tass? You know, definitely pushing Schroeder while he's in the air attacking the rim. Warranted that he got ultimately tossed for that, and I know there was Crowder after that. And what do you make of this, like, you know, Schroeder's a pest. I saw you tweeting about it, Tass. Like, he is. He gets under the other team's skin. If he's on your team, you probably love it. If you're playing against him, you absolutely hate it. Booker's having a horrible night, especially when your 1A, your 1B, whatever you want to Chris Paul to Booker, is basically, you know, giving you nothing because he can't. And so they're just doubling up on him. I mean, all eyes on Booker. So he's frustrated. But do you think they got it right, at least with the push there? Saw Ziller say, not as bad as Bynum on Brea back in the day, but that similar thing where you're pushing a guy in the air. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100% he had to get ejected. Guys get ejected for a lot less. And that was warranted. If it's a two-point game, do they reconsider? I still say no. That was, you know, the game was out of hand at that point, and you're taking their best player off the floor. But at the same time, he just went for a two-handed shove. He knew the game was over. He had had enough of Dennis Schroeder, the pest, who was a pest at the beginning of his career. Then he played 1 year with Chris Paul. I think it just got amped up, you know, learning from the best in the game with Chris Paul. Definitely deserved it. The refs had to take control of the game, and I thought they did a really good job after that when Jay Crowder was trying to be a pest and doing a little chatty chats, and they just said, come on, you can't win, get off the floor. And they did a really good job just to de-escalate that in a heartbeat. You know, you never see Devin Booker get pissed, though. I mean, sometimes he gets a little red in the face.
He gets really upset if you double him during the summer. He is pissed. And so now he's having to deal with it during the NBA. He's got to be double pissed. But something's going to happen in Game 4. It's going to be between Montrezl Harrell and Jay Crowder. These are two guys who like to mix it up. And obviously, as we saw in Game 3, once you get this deep into a playoff series, there's a little bit of animosity, and this is obviously a must-win game for the Suns. They cannot go down 3-1 and have a chance of pulling off an upset against the Lakers, so they're going to be doing whatever they can in Game 4. It's going down. I can't wait.
Yeah, Montrezl Harrell, obviously sort of taken out of the rotation here for Marc Gasol. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? Frank Vogel, just, you know, pushing the right buttons, doing a really good job. I love the Frank Vogel move right at the beginning of the game. He called a challenge on the first play of the game.
15 seconds in,
I liked it. Anthony Davis called for a foul. It didn't seem like he fouled Jay Crowder, but Jay Crowder has the sort of J.J. Redick jump 4 feet into the three-point line and landed on AD's foot. But I liked it, trying to save that AD foul. It didn't work, but... Yeah, AD playing at an incredible level, too. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, Suns?
Do you think, like Lee, that they have no chance to even win a game from here on out, Tess? Or you know, anything could happen here on the weekend and they could win a game four and suddenly it's a best of three. You think it's possible? I mean, Jay Crowder's got to hit a ton of threes. Booker's got to be special, even if he is getting doubled. Mikal Bridges started game three with two threes and then didn't hear from him for the rest of the night. Like, what has to happen? Or is this over in five?
Anything is possible!
I think there's a chance. Jay Crowder, as Lee said, yeah, he's got to, you know, find some mesh. he's a very important player the way they, you know, they've, like the Heat did last year, they really relied on him as their number four, like they're trying to do with Trevor Ariza. The Suns just, they're banking on him to hit some shots. If he hits a couple open shots, it opens things up for Devin Booker, and I just can't see Devin Booker going out without a real good game at some point. I mean, he was good in game one, slowed down a bit in game two, even though he scored 31. It wasn't a Devin Booker game. We got to get a good one from Devin Booker, right?
Like, yeah, I'd hope so.
He's got to channel all the energy, you know, all that push and energy into a few more buckets and to the masterful handles that he's got. I think we're going to get one of those.
Yeah, the problem is, though, and look, I want the Suns to make this a series. I had this going seven for the Lakers. I thought the Suns were going to put up one hell of a fight. You know, the Chris Paul injury, I think, did change the narrative a little bit here, the outcome possibly. But the Lakers have not played all that well, is the other part of this. I mean, defensively, they're locked in. My God, that second quarter was, that was a rough quarter for fans of the offensive part of the game. But they're shooting like 27.5% from three in this series, Trey. So it's like, and like you said, LeBron picks like 10 minutes where he decides he's going to play well. You know, they're not even nowhere near like 100% Lakers in terms of rolling. So that's an issue as, I don't know, a leaf blower or something firing up over there?
Train. I got a train coming past my place. Yeah, that's a new one.
Living by the tracks, are you?
Nah, not that far away, but yeah, you know. It's there.
Okay, LeBron, the locomotive, I guess, coming through here.
Yeah,
Trey, I mean, like, that's the one concern, I think, even though if we do want to say, like, oh, the Suns will have some fight in them, but the Lakers could play better.
If you use your challenge on the very first play of a game, you're probably not worried about what things are going to be doing in the fourth quarter of a game, right? If you're willing to challenge the very first possession, and that tells you all you need to know about how the Lakers are dealing with the Suns here, there's a chance the Suns get a win back in Phoenix. I think that's certainly possible. It's their best chance. But I don't know. The Lakers have figured it out. They have their identity from last year. They play great defense, and they get great performances from LeBron and AD. And those guys at this point know that in the first round, it doesn't have to be 48 minutes to get a win.
Yeah.
It's got to be 24 minutes. They've both done it in these two Lakers wins, turning it on in the second half. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of the same coming here in the remainder of the series.
All right, let's keep it going then. Let's get to the Austin Rivers game. Yes, Austin Rivers steals the show in the fourth quarter as he helps carry the Nuggets to game three victory over the Blazers, Lele. I mean, Jokic a monster. I'm sure we'll get to him. But yeah, the Austin Rivers experience here.
It certainly is the Austin Rivers experience because the Nuggets led most of this game. And in the fourth quarter, like a lot of stars do, Jokic started on the bench and the Blazers started chipping away and tied the game up. Jokic came on and they tied the game up there at 91. And then it was Austin Rivers going crazy, scoring 16 points in that fourth quarter and hitting the four threes, talking trash to the bench there as well, and put this game out of reach here for the Blazers. Now, Austin Rivers has had a very weird season because he started on the Knicks and was actually playing okay. He did this exact same thing against the Jazz earlier in the season in New York, where he hit the four threes in a row in the fourth quarter and won the game for them. And it's like, this guy's working hard. I kind of thought he's a good Tom Thibodeau player, works hard, you know, does what he does, and he comes off the bench and understands his role. But basically when Derrick Rose came in, he was cut and he was out of the league for a long time. Yeah. And then the Nuggets picked him up really only because of the Jamal Murray injury. And he's gone out there and won them a playoff game and turned the series back in Denver's favor. It was an incredible performance. And the Blazers, you know, again, it was close enough. You felt, though, when it was the scores were tied there, the Blazers coming back, Melo hitting shot. This is Lillard's perfect setup for Damian Lillard here to sort of go off and go crazy. But he couldn't do it. And, you know, it was Austin Rivers' four daggers that turned it around, and it was incredibly fun to watch because he was in the flow. He didn't force the action. He sort of got to his spot, and when the ball came to him, he took it and knocked it down, and it was great to see. So a couple of things for the Blazers. I mean, Nurkic fouled out. Couple of tough calls on him, I thought, but he's a bit handsy, so maybe that came back to haunt him a little bit here. But the Blazers had their chance. It got shots. It couldn't knock him down. One adjustment I noticed they make was, you know, Aaron Gordon was on Lillard again, and they tried to pull Jokic out deep so Lillard could sort of get past and go inside, and that was working.
It was
for
working,
a point.
I mean,
yeah, Lillard still finished with 37 points. He did well in that game. But, you know, those some of those deep bombs that we've seen Lillard hit in the past didn't fall during Lillard time, so they came up short. But what a fun game. What a change of momentum in this game, because it just felt like that Blazers avalanche was coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Melo's, he's three to the dome. He's getting goes going crazy out there. And it was the most unlikely of players who was actually going to turn this around. So this is a fascinating series now. I picked the Blazers in six, I
you
think
and
I
went
said.
Six, yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, I think I went seven now I think about it. Yeah. But anyway,
oh, you
whatever.
Went seven. I went six.
I'm not sure who's the favorite right now. I think the Nuggets have certainly been impressive in the last two games, and last night's victory was great. I think the Blazers have got another punch in them for sure. I don't see them going down in a douchebag sweep at all, but it's a great series to watch. Nikola Jokic again, I mean, he's just incredible, and he would have had a couple more dimes last night. I think it was Michael Porter Jr. fumbled a couple of his gorgeous passes inside there. So maybe the Nuggets could have won this game a little more convincingly in the end, but fun game, really fun game, good stuff. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know who if I would change my pick or not. I'm not sure, because the Blazers have probably let one go in the last two games here and could have taken control.
Well, every time it felt like Portland was on that run or going to take control of the game, it was a Nuggets three-pointer where you're like, oh. And you just like had a three-pointer answer for every little run that the Blazers made. It was amazing. And then, yeah, especially Austin Rivers in the fourth. You said a lot of them, they were off like, you know, the catch and shoot, because he was just finding space. Someone drives, kicks it to him. But then he was feeling it, because then he had like a little step back on the side. He's like, all right, it's heat check time here, Austin Rivers time. And he was on fire. So good for him. 21 points overall. Huge. Campazzo had a great game too. I mean, I took the Blazers because I doubted a backcourt of Campazzo and Austin Rivers was going to be able to hang with Lillard and McCollum. I thought they would just get hammered, and they haven't. You know, look, Lillard and McCollum have better numbers and are the better players, don't get me wrong, and that's an advantage still for them. But last night, Trey, I mean, you had confidence in Austin Rivers, I'll tell you that, and Campazzo,
right,
I thought played really good too. Like, those guys were awesome.
You can't get lit up by Austin Rivers in the playoffs, and that really comes down to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Like, McCollum has been solid, I think, but he's a little bit of a missing man here. He's scored 21, 21, and 22, but I feel like he's having very little impact. He's basically being canceled out by Michael Porter Jr. MPJ didn't play incredibly well last night. CJ McCollum has to be better than MPJ. He has to be the second best player on the Blazers for sure, and he's got to be able to do something to slow down Austin Rivers and Facundo Campazzo, because that's a bad loss for the Blazers last night. They had stole home court advantage from Denver in game one, so to lose at home when they won the turnover battle, they won the paint points battle, Michael Porter Jr. did not have a great game. The Nuggets have their second string backcourt out there. The Blazers are the healthiest they've been all year. But you can't just turn on the defense. You can't do all of these things. You can't give up 36 points to Nikola Jokic and 21 to Austin Rivers and 23 pointers. Like, there's got to be something there that you take away if you're expecting to win a playoff game. Cannot be consistently cooked by third stringers. Bad news bears for the Blazers.
And they made the most sort of like insane comeback in this game too, Tass. Like, they were down actually quite a lot late, and then just hit three after three after three, and to the point where, who was it at the line? Monte Morris, I believe, there with a chance to ice the game and misses, but Jokic gets the rebound and scores, and then it's a five-point victory. But Blazers actually would have had a chance if they get the rebound there, and you know, hoping for a miracle. But I guess my point is, it was sort of like it was just one of those weird, really late comebacks where the team just couldn't miss a three. But they actually were sort of like, That really changed there in the few minutes prior when it was a tie game, but then the Nuggets, led by Austin Rivers and Jokic, blew open the game.
Yeah, I think Lee called the Phoenix comeback a fake comeback. This was also a fake comeback. It wasn't going to happen for the Blazers. Maybe a little mistake there by Terry Stotts on that free throw. He had Robert Covington trying to box out Nikola Jokic. Oof. I understand you probably want a three-point shooter there, but You know, Enes Kanter sitting there for a rebound. That's his job to pass it out. So, yeah, Nikola Jokic, he was just taller. If you see the replay from the baseline.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a man amongst shorter boys. And got the rebound, and then it was over. But I always wondered if Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr., like 4 or 5, could be a good enough defensive lineup to win in the playoffs. And the Blazers were shredding it. With those drives, with the points in the paint, it's kind of nuts to think this guard heavy team. I mean, this guard centric team had 54 points in the paint because they were able to go through the Nuggets front line, as you guys mentioned, pulled Nikola Jokic out, and they were just flying to the rim. But then, really, it's the three balls. If this was 1974, the Denver Nuggets are not winning this game. But yeah, they're just raining down all time. Most three-pointers in a half for them in the first half of any half in their franchise history, Alex English or not. They hit 12 threes in that first half, and then, it was just people questioned Nikola Jokic. Is he going to step up and hit three-point shots? Well, he was frickin' money, hitting 4 of 7, and Porter Jr., although he didn't have a great night, you wouldn't think that the Nuggets would win with Porter Jr. scoring 15 points, and he hit 3 threes. And then on down the line, obviously Austin Rivers was the guy who stole the show in the end. But the fact that they've got all these guys chipping in to make it 23 pointers, the total 23s, that was really the difference in the game. I thought Michael Porter Jr. Would have to be a lot better in this series, but he's had a 15-point game and an 18-point game the last two, and those were the ones that they've won because everybody chipping in. Shocking stuff. The Nuggets are, Jokic is obviously their leader. And, it trickles down from that dude. He's still performing night in, night out.
Here's why we may want to change our prediction, Lee, because I think we were the only two to go Blazers. I think Trey and Tass. Is that right? Did you guys go Nuggets in the series? Yeah.
Yep.
But here's why we may want to change it, Lee. Back in 2019, when the Blazers did beat the Nuggets in 7 games in the West semifinals, Portland won pivotal game 3, shout out to Magic Johnson, when the series was tied at 1 game apiece. Do you remember that game 3, though? That was the epic 4-overtime clash there, which turned in, really, to the Rodney Hood game.
Oh my
remember
God.
That? When he was the star in the fourth no. overtime? Well, I'm just saying, this obviously wasn't a double, triple, 4-overtime game here last night, but it was the Austin Rivers game. I mean, if we ever look back on this series, that's what it will be branded as, and you know, maybe it'll end up working in the Nuggets' favor this time around, just like Rodney Hood did for the Blazers in 2019. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
Well, and he was great physically. Austin Rivers was great defensively, too. I think the thing that got him going offensively was that strip of Damian Lillard when he went down when Lillard was driving to the paint, and Austin Rivers just a ripper, just a full two-hand ripper right from his
Austin
hands.
Rippers. Yeah. Means something different in Canada.
Yeah, it's only a Canadian thing, huh?
I've only heard it from y'all and your group of friends back in Toronto. I don't know why.
Austin doing the ripping. They need that nastiness. At least that about the Knicks. Austin Rivers' run with the Knicks, I thought he would definitely be a Knick for the season. He was writing long Instagram posts about how the Knicks are coming together and how they're a solid bunch. Yeah. Then he gets released. And he doesn't play basketball for 2 months. And then the Nuggets signed him to a 10-day, and now he's starting in the freaking playoffs, and he's bringing the attitude. They absolutely need that attitude from somebody in the starting lineup. And, you know, Campazzo's a little bit nasty, a little bit feisty. He's got the thing with Lillard. They're bringing it. Yeah. You know, Rivers versus Lillard, they're bringing the nasty, and that's what you need in every postseason, right?
Rivers had an awesome quote, I thought, after this game, like talking about not being with the team there for a while. He said, "This game can bring you the lowest feeling in the world. I swear, some of these nights you feel so low, and this game can make you feel so good about yourself, too." And Rivers has experienced them both here in, obviously, his career. So he's riding high with the Nuggets fans right now. It's good for him. That was amazing shooting, and it did. I thought I was with you, Lee. I actually watched this one this morning, so I didn't know the outcome, of course, but I was like, when the Blazers, when Melo hit that three and Melo was going, I was like, how are they going to lose this game? They are riding high right now. And then, Austin Rivers is just going to like not be able to miss a three here down the stretch. That's how you're going to lose the game. So.
Because also, as well, when they were making a bit of a push there and Jokic was staying on the bench, it was like, come on, Mike, get him out there, get him out there. You thought he might have just waited a minute or two too long here, but he didn't in the end. But like we've seen with some of the other coaches in this in the playoffs, it's like, throw regular season minutes out the window. You've got to win this game. But it worked out for them in the end. So well done to Mike Malone. But I was nervous for him, even though I actually did know the outcome. I was still nervous. I was like, I would still put him in if I was Michael Malone, but couldn't do it.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Final game. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this. The Bucks put the Heat on brink. I love that term. On brink. Win 113-84 for the 3-0 series lead. Yeah, not looking good here for the Miami Heat. Looking great for the Bucks. They out-rebounded Miami 56-41. Another 11 offensive rebounds. They had 18 in game two, so they're continuing to dominate them on the glass. Held the Heat to 38% shooting. And I would say all three of the Bucks stars just did their thing. You know, Giannis 17-17, Chris Middleton 22 points on 16 shots, and Drew Holiday, I think he was a plus 41 in this game, which is, 19 points and 12 assists for him. So the Bucks defensively locked in. Offensively, they're doing a much better job than last year of, like, finding mismatches, exploiting them, because there are some guards and guys on the Heat that you can go at, and they're not overthinking. They're getting their switches, and then they're attacking, and they're just playing so much better. But here we go. Miami has lost three games by 29 points or more this season, all against Milwaukee, Tass. Very different than what the Clippers did, of course, in the West, trying to avoid the Lakers and all that. Bucks said, no, we're going to exercise those demons. We want the Heat. They basically set it up that way after beating them at the end of the regular season. And here they are up 3-0, and this one's a wrap. The Heat ain't coming back to win it. It'll just we'll just figure out how many games it's going to take at this point.
So sad. What are these Miami Heat? I expected a heck of a lot of fight. I wondered if my pick of the Milwaukee Bucks was the right one to take. And now looking back, I pondered this series. I mean, the Heat have not shown up offensively. The Bucks offense, or the Bucks defense, excuse me, is great, but you put up 84 points in this day and age. What the heck is going on? Everybody outside Jimmy Butler just did not show up. That was the question coming into the series. Is Tyler Hero going to be Tyler Hero? Is Dragic going to be Dragic? Dragic has been a little bit. Tyler Hero is just you mentioned Drew Holiday. At the beginning of the season, everybody was contemplating the Drew Holiday packages for the New Orleans Pelicans. Would you trade him to Denver for Michael Porter Jr.? Would you trade him to Miami for Tyler Hero? The consensus was, you know what? Maybe Porter Jr. Would be the player to go back. I think I'd want to keep Hero if I was the Miami Heat. Well, obviously, it's flipped right now. Hero's just not looking like anything like that guy. But the biggest disappointment is Bam. He's a friggin' all-star. And I don't know. I guess that bubble was special.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you called the Skeets last year saying that the Heat just had something going there. The recipe was perfect in Orlando. But I think that the four games that they had when they had a sweep last year against the Indiana Pacers in round one, one of the first round sweeps. There's three first round sweeps last year. I totally forgot about that. And that could happen again this year. I guess those four games really helped them just find their place, because yeah, man, it's tough to watch. It's just tough to watch all these guys who you expect to go. In the third quarter, there was like 30 seconds of Miami Heat basketball, right? Like, you know, the drive and drift was happening. It was like guys getting into the lane and finding guys in the corner, and a lot of movement. And then it just stopped. It's so strange watching this Heat team.
Which is weird because they played so great down the stretch of the regular season. Yeah. That's the other thing here. Everybody was like talking themselves into like, oh, he could win this series. He could win this series. Oh, they got the Bucks number. And I think it's a bit of both, Trey, right? It's like the Heat, obviously, especially Bam, even Jimmy in a lot of these games, definitely Hero, a lot of them, not playing up to the capabilities that we know they can play. And then on top of that, the Bucks looking and playing so much better than we've ever seen them, or at least recently seen them, of course, in playoff series. And that's why we're getting, you know, 25, 30 point blowouts. The Bucks are on another level right now. Drew Holiday's been amazing for them. I mean, you're upgrading from Eric Bledsoe to Drew Holiday. I'm sorry, like, that is huge. I compared it on Twitter to the Raptors going from DeRozan to Kawhi Leonard. I got some hate responses, but I stand by it, because my God, just the gap of where you're going in terms of these players in a playoff series is huge. But anyway, what do you think of the Bucks? Is this the case of the Bucks looking dominant and maybe going to be able to challenge the Nets, Trey, or is it the opposite, as the Heat just throwing up stinkers here left and right, or is it somewhere in between, in your opinion?
It's probably in between, but I'm going to give some credit to the Bucks, because I think Giannis has taken another step on his superstar journey. Because before game one tipped, he was saying, I don't know if things are going to be different, you know? Yeah. How can I say? I'm wearing a shirt that says be different, but I don't know if they're going to be different. Turns out everything is different. He's pulling a LeBron here saying, I don't know how things are going to go. And then they came out and the Bucks have been smacking them, because they play a different style of defense. They play a different style of offense. Giannis has been sticking Jimmy a lot, which has really thrown off the Heat's drive and kick game, which is a big part of the way they get their three-pointers and Jimmy gets to the line. So, yeah, many things actually changed for the Bucks. Obviously, the Eric Bledsoe to Drew Holiday upgrade is a huge one, but I don't know. The Bucks have just been super impressive. They wanted this series. They never ran from it. And they played coy with it, saying, I don't know, maybe we won't beat them. And then they come out and straight up smack them. Impressive stuff.
If you include game one's overtime period lead, the Bucks have won 9 consecutive quarters in this series. That is tough to do. It's just like every once in a while, there'll be like a 25-24 for the team, even if they are getting killed in a game. But Milwaukee is just crushing them.
Yeah, and we wanted to see a convincing victory to see if they could potentially battle against the Nets. And I think we are seeing that. We're seeing convincing victory on both ends of the floor other than game one. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, Giannis wasn't in the top three for MVP voting this season as far as the NBA awards there. And maybe that's a good thing, because maybe it's like, you know what, there's a little bit less pressure on him to perform. And he's going out there doing well. I think Budenholzer so far has gotten everything right. And you're seeing that in the results. They're not giving the Heat, certainly in these last two games, even a chance. They're not letting that game get close. They're putting it away early on. And that's what championship caliber teams do, is they really drop the hammer on those weaker teams. But the other thing I really want to take out of this game, we've had a couple of ugly fan incidents in the last 2 days. How good was it, the Miami Heat counting Giannis at the free throw line last night? I thought that was fantastic. Yeah. Just getting into his head there like that. That's the sort of stuff we want to see from fans. Having some fun out there, trying to troll your opponent in a good-natured way. So keep that up, Miami. In fact, the fact that Heat fans fans were still there at that point of the game.
Experience with leaving good nature, the building, mate, and trying to get back in. So.
Yeah, but that's fun. That's great. That's really good stuff. Even though your team's getting smacked, you want to have some fun out there. Didn't work, but great. Yeah. Keep it up.
Taz, is this one over on the weekend? Well, is this a sweep in your opinion, or do you still believe the Heat have some fight in them?
No. I think it's over, and I hope it's over for Milwaukee's sake, because I want them to be fresh for the Brooklyn Nets when they sweep the Celtics. You want them to not have to go out and play a few extra games. Then we'll probably have this scenario where the second round starts before the first round, or the first round's over, with the Hawks and the Knicks situation. I did not remember this, but last year, the four series in the Eastern Conference in the first round last year, there was only one extra game. There's three sweeps and a five-game series.
Bucks-y,
don't remember right? That was weird. And it was the Bucks beat the Magic in five, but then there was three sweeps. The Raps beat the Nets. The Celtics swept the Sixers, and the Heat swept the Pacers. This one, the Hawks And the Knicks is going to go longer than five games, but the other three series probably going to be sweeps.
It's possible. And they will. Yeah, I guess they do in years prior, right? They sort of start up this the next round. Like, they're not going to wait for the other series in their conference to completely end. Well, they're trying to get closer, so. But
yeah. Because the Hawks-Knicks could go seven, and, I mean, that could be like 10 days for some of these teams.
I want the Nets and Bucks series to be done by the time the Knicks and Hawks series Knicks. Is done. I want that to happen. So we'll see. So, yeah, not looking good for the Heat. We can get into dissecting what they should have done, maybe, in trading for some of these guys and maybe giving up Tyler Hero in some package deals if those reported deals were true. Remember, Harden, mm-hmm. Lowry, other ones like that. We'll get into them, and of course, we'll start looking ahead to Bucks-Nets second-round series. My God, that should be amazing in the coming days. Probably like next week, early next week. We'll wait to do that. No rush right now. Because I got some questions for you guys. Because we're 1 week in. Questions for everybody in the stream team, everybody listening later. Leave your comments below the YouTube video or tweet them in at NoDunksInc. Lee, 1 week in, I just want you to tell me, who is your playoffs MVP right now? Who would you give it to if there was an actual award for this?
Doncic, easily. He's been a fantastic player. The fact that they're up 2-0 on the road already, convincing victories. He's been unstoppable and really has embarrassed the Clippers at both ends of the, well, not at both ends of the floor, but certainly they haven't had an answer for him. If they've tried to defend him, he's more than happy to facilitate and pass to his teammates, and completely and utterly dominating this series. And, they have a chance tonight to go up 3-0 in the series. And you wonder, because Paul George has had a go at him, Kawhi Leonard's had a go at him, what else can Ty Lue do if those two guys aren't really able to slow him down? And that's the beauty about Luka Doncic, is it doesn't really matter. He's confident in what he does, whether it's passing the ball to his teammates, hitting those threes, taking big shots late. And if he does get the mismatch, as we mentioned the other night against Patrick Beverley, he is just going to devour Patrick Beverley. So that's what a true superstar does, is like, okay, when you've got the better defenders on me, I'll work it around and get to my spot still and move the ball, but if someone like that is on me, I'm not even going to contemplate what I'm doing. I'm just going straight inside to score. So I think it's Doncic. There's been some star players, but I think he would be a unanimous vote if that was the sort of thing we were doing two
unanimous.
Games into the playoffs.
You agree with that, Trey? Would Luka get your unanimous 1 week in playoff MVP vote?
He's at my playoff MVP 1 week in table, that's for sure. But I don't know. He was third on my list behind Jokic and AD. Ooh. Jokic has gone 34 points, 38 points, 36 points, 12 boards a game. He's second in the playoffs in scoring, I think, right now. He's shooting 58%. He had the one assist game, which was weird, but he's been dominant otherwise. He just didn't get the passing in game one, and a lot of that was Michael Porter Jr. going 1-for-10 from three. Like, there's an easy five assists there if he shoots a decent percentage, right? Jokic has been an MVP for me, especially with that tip last night. Four tiny Lilliputian Blazers just standing around him. Robert Covington getting the crowd fired up to give up an offensive rebound in the clutch. Bad news, Bears. So, yeah, Jokic for me. AD took off game one, but he's been special in the next two games for the Lakers. That rounds out my bad.
Yeah, it's a good list. I mean, I think I actually... It's Jokic or Luka to... Jokic or Luka to me. Man, put those two players together. Wow, greatest of all time. Jokic is averaging 36 points per game in 34 minutes per game, which is amazing. And you said 58% from the floor, 50% from three, 95% from the line. And his usage percentage is the highest in the postseason because everything goes through him, especially with no Jamal Murray. It's at like 37.4%. Lillard's behind him. And then it's like a significant drop off to third in terms of just usage percent. So I think I go Jokic right now too, but love the Luka pick. Tass, who gets your vote?
I'm with you guys. I kind of lean away from the guys like LeBron or let's say even KD. The teams that are doing it so easily, they're not going to win it. You know, the teams that rely more on their stars like Luka and Jokic are going to win this huge award here through six nights of the playoffs. You guys knock. I'm happy for Jokic in that he's continuing to perform here. And it almost feels like he's underrated here through three games. Like there's not enough talk about him, even though he's been, one of the top couple players in the league. And I'm happy they're winning, so there isn't the standard 2007 Dirk Nowitzki MVP and then potentially losing in the first round. So at least he's continuing to do it here, and they can try and put a small on him. Good luck with that. He's just killing everybody who comes at him like a real MVP does. And now this, oh, he's the worst MVP since X.
Oh, my God. Shut the f*** up with this. What are the... Yeah, it's a...
Just wait. Nuggets are going to be in the conference finals. This team is good.
They are.
They have taken zero step back. They have not missed Jamal Murray once since he's been injured. Maybe the Lakers game. I'll take that back. Maybe the Lakers game they missed him, but they have not missed him at all right now. And Jokic has been playing this well from the first night of the season. This is special Dirk Nowitzki kind of stuff.
You're taking them over the Lakers, though. I always have to go back to the standings.
Yeah. Possible. It's possible. It's
2-7. Yeah, they're going to be basically the 2 seed. Yeah.
It's tough.
Look, but it is amazing what he's doing. I'm with
if
you,
only
though,
they were
Tass. It is like right now, it's only 3 games, and this is a silly question as it is, but he is sort of underrated, and it's just. It's got to be just the way he plays. And I think some people will go, well, they're playing the Blazers too. I mean, if you see their defense, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, he's still carving up their asses. And Nurk is not bad. He's a big dude, has some experience, of course, playing against them. So, like, I think some people are going to hold that against Jokic, but it is underrated. It is. I mean, it's just like the way Luka goes about getting his points, the way Lillard goes about getting his, you know, even KD, whatever, like, it's just flashier, right? It's just a slow boulder that just racks up 35, 36 points every night, and then, of course, the assists and stuff. But it's weird, because he's got, like, the flashy assists that get you, like, your highlights on SportsCenter, though there has been, I guess, many, at least, in the playoffs so far, but anyway.
Yeah, people just don't get as fired up about a sick spin move. But he had a really nice one against Robert Covington last night. That was that's the big man version of a crossover. When you send somebody flying on a spin move, that's great stuff. I lost my train of thought. Oh. Jokic is good. He's good at basketball.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good.
I'm enjoying this
Nurkic,
guy.
Nurkic is a sort of good physical matchup for him there. But with Jokic, it just doesn't matter because he can just get to his spot. And there was a couple of times there last night as well. Like, he stands and he's like, all right, I won't get into his grill. I'll just stand here. And Jokic is like, just got the 15-footer.
Well, yeah.
And he's like, okay, I'll just shoot this then. Yeah. You know, so it's like, what can you do? Because as I say, Nurkic, he's a little bit clumsy. I think that's why he gets into foul trouble. But I think he's made that way because he just can't seem to guess right on what Jokic is going to do. Get too close to him and he burns right past you. Well, you know, in his own slow motion sort of way there. But he's in control, and that's what we talk about a lot with Jokic. You can't sort of get him out of his own groove. He plays the way he likes to play. Mm-hmm.
All right, this is a fun question. Trey, you get us started. Which player through 1 week has disappointed you the most?
Well, for me, it's actually me, because I just found that thread I was thinking about. I think part of the reason we don't talk about Jokic as much is that Jokic doesn't talk about Jokic as much.
Oh!
Start laying down that narrative, buddy, and people will get fired up for it. As for basketball players who have disappointed me the most, Tass, you slipped it in earlier. Bam Adebayo has looked like a completely different player than last postseason, not in a good way. He was instrumental last year building the wall versus Giannis. Basically the first brick. He's big enough, strong enough, tall enough. He made a difference, but this year, not so much. Giannis is dominating out there against the Heat. I suppose that it's good that Bam Adebayo has limited Giannis to 1 of 12 from 3. That could be a problem from the Bucks, but it hasn't been a problem because he can score inside anytime. But it's really the offense that has disappointed me with Bam Adebayo. He's 14 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists per game on 40% shooting. Fine. I mean, nothing special, but he looks so tentative. The Bucks are playing off him, giving him jumpers that he made all year. He's just a little hesitant to take him. I think back to the bubble series when he's bringing the ball up the court, making plays off the dribble, finding shooters, getting to the hoop, and we just haven't seen any of that at all from Bam Adebayo yet in this series.
Yeah, Lee, disappointed you the most. Is it Bam or somebody else?
It's hard to go past Bam because he's such a good player and he's been so bad. He's just looked out of sorts. I mean, I talked about this guy a little bit. I shouldn't be disappointed with Jay Crowder because I know what I'm getting with him, but he's 2 for 20 from downtown. Yeah. Come on, man. He's a veteran. He's been around
so badly, too. These are
exactly
close. These are like they're missing the rim at times.
Yeah. He's a player that I always think I like. He's tough defensively. He can hit that three. He's smart. But then he just seems to be like a deer in the headlights at times as well. And he doesn't sort of raise his game when it really, really needs to. Maybe he's a bit of a downhill player. You know, when teams are playing well and he's scoring, it's fine. But
under pressure, he can't perform. And because I look at him and I always think he's the sort of guy who should be able to at least sort of, you know, hold LeBron a little bit, bump him, push him, you know, because he's a big, strong guy.
I think he's won a handful of times against LeBron in playoff series.
Yeah.
He's a real Paul Millsap about it, unfortunately.
I think that's, yeah. So, I mean, I shouldn't be, but I kind of think, okay, he's finally going to snap out of it. You know, this guy, he's a vet. This is what you have him on the team. They gave him a 3-year contract, the Suns, too, for like $30 million, I think it was in the end. It's like they think he's going to be there for a while, but there's a reason, I guess, why he just keeps bouncing around teams, because not much substance under it, I think. Maybe it's a little bit, he just sort of plays well in the regular season, but not really in the postseason.
I can't wait for Jay Crowder to hit 6 threes in game 4 here. I'm like so looking forward to it now.
6 for 7 he'll do as well. That's what like, I mean. That's
it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. Yeah. Well, hopefully it's coming for
something. I actually like this take from Sam Unono. Sure. Crowder's too busy trying to mess with LeBron. I wonder how much of that is the case, because obviously the Lakers beat the Heat in the finals last year. Jay Crowder was there. LeBron over Jay Crowder again. Jay Crowder and LeBron were teammates, and Jay Crowder is one of the few 3-and-D guys not to succeed alongside LeBron. Maybe it's just the LeBron curse for Jay Crowder.
Yeah, it might be something there. We'll see if he can knock some down in game 4 on the weekend. Tass, anybody else that's disappointed you? Where would you go?
Yeah, I got to go every member of the Miami Heat, really. I mean, when you look at it's a finals run to this. Yeah, Bam, you know, drop into those numbers from 18 and 10 last year in the playoffs, as Trey mentioned, those, you know, 14 and 7. And then the big drop off from Tyler Hero, going from 16 points a game last year to 7.7 this year. That's a 50% drop off. Just that perfection that was that run last year, everybody is suffering on the Miami Heat team. And it even extends to Jay Crowder, who's on the Phoenix Suns. Everybody just, it's just wild. I mean, we talked about this Heat Bucks series like it was going to be a freaking series. I mean, we already have two duds in the 1-8 and the 2-7, Sixers, Wizards, and the Nets and the Celtics. And now we're getting a third dud. I'm just a little angry about that. Luckily, we've got the Hawks and the Knicks to boost our spirits here. But it's disappointing. It's disappointing in everybody on that roster. I don't know how much, just frankly, just being in a bubble and that 4-game sweep against the Pacers in that first round really helped them. But I guess it helped a lot. I mean, it's just so weird. And you, like you guys said, they're coming in playing well, so we're talking ourselves into it. But they don't know who they are. They're allowing a guy who just got there and Dwayne Dedman to just chuck shot after shot after shot. That's not a recipe for success. And you know, the same goes for sort of Trevor Ariza. Like they don't have that same identity that they did last year.
I'm going to avoid for this question any Celtics players, because that's a wrap and they were going to be outclassed as it was, especially with no Jaylen Brown. I'm going to go to the Hawks-Knicks series. I'm going to go John Collins for disappointing right now. And it's a 1-1 series, so it's not the end of the world. And he might have an awesome game 3 tonight down at the Fortress against New York. But John Collins, he could be losing a lot of money right now. And I like John Collins. We've had him on the show. Love him. Great guest, great guy. But hasn't done a lot here in 2 games. He had 12 points in game 1 in the victory. Okay, 12-7. That's fine. In significant minutes. Game 2, the 0-for. For 2 shots, 2 3-point attempts, actually, and didn't play a lot. He was in foul trouble. There was that. So, I mean, I just want to see him have I think at some point he actually has to have like a big game to make this a 7-game series here. They're going to need a John Collins moment, let's call it that, in maybe one of these games here in Atlanta. But hopefully he bounces back. But he hasn't looked that great lately, so I'll go with that.
No, he hasn't. The only thing I will say is he picked up 2 fouls in the first 2 minutes on Wednesday night, and then he came out the start of the second quarter, I think it was, and he picked up a foul again straight away. So he's just never really.
I know.
I'm just saying though. Like once you sort of, and then they were leading as well, so it was kind of like Nate McMillan was kind of like, we maybe just leave him out tonight. Yeah. He's not in a groove, and he couldn't get going. So I'll give him a pass for that one. But game one. He was okay. He was okay.
I mean, we think of this guy sometimes as like, you know, the future of the Hawks. Like if they do end up signing him long term, and you know, you're just like, ooh, do you want to give a guy like this a ton of money, a near max deal? I don't know.
They did offer him. 4 years and $100 million.
I think
wasn't
so.
It?
I think. so
490.
90, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's going to get that from someone, but he wants more than that. He wants, I think, what does he...
He's not proving it, is my point right now.
No.
But anyway, he's got time, of course, to turn this around. Maybe he has a big game tonight. All right, final one here. 11 games on this weekend. Crazy. I mean, 3 games on tonight here on Friday night, and then another quad. So add them up. That's 11, if my math is right. Trey, which one are you most excited for and why? If you had to just pick one game from this weekend, I'm sure you'll watch 9 or 10 of these things, but which one are you excited about?
Not me, Skeets. I'm watching Knicks versus Hawks and then tuning out for the next 10. That's the only series I'm excited about. Just kidding. But it is the best series we've got going, I think. Knicks-Hawks down at the Fortress tonight. Trey Young versus Knicks fans. That's a budding rivalry. I love how he's embraced it. Knicks fans, it feel like, has embraced him as a villain. Very Reggie Miller-esque. The Hawks haven't had a playoff game in Atlanta since 2017. I saw a Hawks playoff game when they were a 60-win team. It was loud in there. It'll be interesting to see how many of the fans that make it into Atlanta, the most capacity they've had yet this season. How many of them are going to be Knicks fans? That's a huge question for tonight. You cannot have Trey is balding chance in the A. Cannot happen. Hawks fans have to out-cheer Knicks fans tonight because there's going to be some Knicks fans around. But I'm excited. Trey Young in his first playoff game in Madison Square Garden was electric. I'm expecting the same tonight.
Yeah, same question, Lili. I mean, maybe it is that series. Maybe it's that game, I should say. Maybe you're going to pick game 4 because you're going down there if that's still happening. Well, oh, boy. Oh.
Well, I'm hoping. Just a slight change of plans. I'm hoping to go tonight.
Whoa, but switch up.
Yeah. Well, I might go to both if I can. Okay. But tickets are in demand, high demand down at the Fortress. Everyone wants a piece of the action. So we'll see what happens. But I'm ready to go if necessary. I've got my Kyle Korver shirt on. So, it should be fun. No, but this is the series because this one really, it could go either way. And I think tonight is a pivotal game in the series.
Oh, yeah.
I really think so. Trae Young has been brilliant in his playoff debut. Julius Randle, not so much, although he was okay in the second game there. So what will happen tonight? Will the Knicks take the advantage, or will the Hawks sort of put themselves in pole position here to take this one? I think it's fantastic because the other series, the Nets have got not going to lose. Neither are the Sixers, I don't think. The Mavs Clippers.
What about the Clips?
Yeah, Mavs Clippers tonight. Yeah, that's actually massive. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's the one I'm definitely watching because, who knows? Can the Clippers fight back, or are they going to roll over and die when adversity strikes? I guess it's possible, but you guys talked about John Collins potentially leaving the Hawks. Don't want to get juicy. Don't want to be clickbait here, but Kawhi Leonard has left a team that won the NBA Finals, the first Finals MVP to leave a team. Is he going to stay around if they get friggin' swept? What? I know. He's balling.
It's true. There's a lot riding on the Clippers, like, as an organization tonight in Game 3.
Obviously, if they lose tonight, good night. This is a monstrous, monstrous game. It's not like they've played horrendous, but they just can't stop the Mavs. So what are they going to do to Luka tonight? Are they going to actually fight over screens a little bit more? Are they actually going to have a sense of urgency on that end and try and stop them? I mean, the Mavs are going home. This is a big, big game. Luka in his first home playoff game in Dallas. But I don't know. Now with the Clippers, there's no more predicting. There's no more trying to figure them out. They lost 3 straight, obviously against Denver last year, and now they're... they're on the brink, baby. This is a pivotal game. I'm waiting for the Magic Johnson tweet. This is definitely pivotal.
Yeah, what did he say last night? Games 3 and 5 are always the most important games.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you agree, Lee? I mean, game 5 doesn't always happen.
Yeah, but game he's a 5-time champ. Important. He's an MVP. Magic knows the game better than anyone. So if he says so, I agree with him.
All right.
When you're tied 1-1, the winner of game 3 does win 71% of the time or whatever it is.
It's even higher than that, isn't it? It's 73-74%. It's very high, that 1-1 split to win that game 3. Very pivotal. I am excited to see if Coach Lou is right, though, Maybe the Mavs just can't hit a shot when they go home and all the pressure's on them.
They got that road court advantage.
If the Mavericks like only hit like 4 threes tonight, go 4 of 28 from three, and like Coach Lou's gonna be like, see, told you. Now we're the underdogs. Now it's great.
I also saw that Rick Carlisle said that Rondo has been calling out the plays that the Mavericks are running because he was a Maverick for a short bit of time there. Maverick fans aren't huge supporters of Rondo at this point, but there was a great tweet from Alex Wong at Steven_LeBron. He said, Luka, the play he keeps calling out is find the smallest guy and go straight to the hoop. Maybe call a different defense. Ty Lue.
Yeah, excited. These games tonight are definitely huge, at least those two on ESPN. By the way, it says 7 p.m. Eastern for the Knicks-Hawks.
Yeah.
But bullseye?
Is that a bullseye? I feel like it is because they have Clippers-Mavs as 9:30, though.
Okay.
So, but you're right. ESPN usually does their 20-minute pregame show. And I thought I even asked Jared, our buddy, who's going down to the Fortress for the Hawks. I said, what time does the game start tomorrow night? I'm 99% sure he told me yesterday it started at 7:30. So now I'm all concerned. Now I'm worried. Yeah. What, Tass? What, 7 or 7?
Sure, Dent doesn't know the start time. 7:30? Are you kidding me?
What do you mean?
There's no way it starts at 7:30.
Okay.
Let's get into it. Let's get into the timing. There's no way.
What time do you think they tip?
Way earlier.
Let's put an over-under.
This is the new pick and payoff. What time are the games tipping off tonight?
Let's do it.
National anthem singer stands up at 7:04.
Okay, they don't show us that.
Yeah, I see it on the broadcast. I see it on the NBA game time app. I watch the whole thing. I stand at attention from 7:04 to 7:06. Warm-ups come up at 7:06 and 30 seconds. Tip at 7:07.
7:07? What is this, first pitch in a baseball game? No way that's 7:07.
Lock it in. That would be late. Lock it in.
Friday night in Atlanta, that thing's not being tipped until 7:18.
It's the playoffs.
That's my bullseye tip call. Lee, go ahead. Let's get it out there.
I think it tips at 7:11.
Oh, right. I was going 7:11. This sucks.
You can still do it. Don't do it.
7:13. Gotta be 7:13.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. 7:07 from Tass, 7:11 from Lee, 7:13 from Trey, and I'm going 7:18. Bullseye tip time. Knicks Hawks game 3 tonight on ESPN. Tweet us so everybody knows.
Yeah, get your picks in.
Yeah, who's taking who here?
Would you say 7:18, Skeets?
Yeah, I'm going late.
You're a crazy man.
Yeah, they're going to see them in the back in Bristol for a little bit. Let's talk about this series. Let's hype it up, man. can't wait. Anyway, let's get to tweet of the night. But before that, a quick word from our sponsors, JD. Let's get to tweet of the night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
All righty. Tweet of the night. I'm already clapping for it because it's a great one. It comes from the Atlanta Hawks in-arena DJ and one-time starters guest and overall amazing guy, Sir Foster. Take it away, JD.
Why do you work out?
What?
Why do you work out?
To look cooler during sex.
Not for health reasons.
No, you gotta have sex and look cool at the same time.
But you should work out because it's healthy for your heart.
That's right. Live longer, have more cool during sex.
But looking cool during sex doesn't really matter.
You gotta look cool all the time, sorry.
You work out because it's good for you.
It's good to look cool during sex?
It's even cooler when you're healthy.
Whatever. That's fine. I trust you.
Okay.
This is different.
You're not gonna look cooler during sex.
I'm built different.
Nice clip.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, there's Sir Foster.
That was crazy, man.
I know, it was crazy. Listen, yeah, it's just like you said about the Hydrant ad read, it works for both the audio listener and the video listener. For the audio listener, they're just hearing a clip from a movie talking about working out because you want to look better during sex. But for the video listener or the video watcher, they just watch Sir Foster jacked doing some rows. And then getting in the mirror and looking jacked. So he did four. I don't know why he set it to that movie. Why he set the video of him working out.
I don't know why we just saw that. I'm so confused by this. Sorry, did you even explain who Sir Foster is?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Oh, you did. Okay, sorry. I saw some people going, what the hell? Never mind.
Yeah, anyways. Yeah, of course it's confusing for the video watcher. But for the audio listener, they enjoyed it. They thoroughly enjoyed it, I'm sure. Yep.
All right.
Are you surprised that Sir Foster is so jacked?
A little. I mean, he's
he got a lot bigger
since we first met him. Yeah.
He's putting in work in the gym. I think I would be concerned if it would have any effect on his keyboard skills or maybe the saxophone skills. Can you be quite possibly too jacked? Mm. Like, maybe he's not working out his fingers. Like, you wouldn't want them too beefed up there, but...
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to hit a sharp, you hit a flat, throws everything off, man.
I'll report on it tonight if he's down there. If I get down there, I'll say, yeah, mm-hmm. didn't matter.
Oh, he's going to be in fine form. I saw so many people tweeting him like, you got to play this, you got to play this. And he was like writing back to people. I usually save that song for the fourth quarter. We're playing it in the first quarter tonight.
It's going down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I might have to look into tickets here last second. I wish I knew the tip time. Definitely.
Well, let me know if you want one, because it's a bit easier to buy them if you buy them in pairs rather than just individuals.
You're going solo?
I think so, yeah. I think so.
What are you asking, man? I didn't know that. I figured you were going with somebody.
Nah, nah.
One of your cool dads that you see at the carpool or something. Okay. Yeah, we'll talk offline. Right. Possibly. All right. Shout out to Sir Foster, man. Looking great. Looking fantastic.
You guys think I should post a video like that? Me doing push-ups in my living room, but it's like set to stuff about looking cooler during sex?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Do it.
Okay.
Get JD to edit it, though, because JD made it sound so much better. Did you go grab the clip from the movie or wherever that's from, JD? Does anybody know where that's from?
I didn't really do any. I kind of squished it when I exported it, but I didn't really do anything to it. I have no idea what movie that's from, though.
No.
I thought it sounded way better. He was you're squished it just like he was squishing his lats there,
right.
Doing those rows.
That's right.
That was wonderful. That's wonderful to watch him get I think it was 4 plates plus a 25, 4 full form rows. Not messing around. Yeah, Trey, send it over, man. Send a video out there.
Yeah, shoot me that Sir Foster clip so I can rip the audio and put it over myself.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're almost done here with the Drop Podcast on a Friday. But before we go, come on, let's end with some rapid fire fun. TK, take it away.
Oh, here we go. The Clippers lost their last two games of the regular season in order to avoid the Lakers in the playoffs. Then they promptly went out and lost both home games against the Mavericks to drop 0-2 in their series. They just might avoid the Lakers after all. Guys, when is the time your brilliant plan totally backfired? Skeets.
I don't think I've shared this story before, but after high school, I went to Australia for a year. That part you know, but the specifics here, I don't think you do to answer this question. And, you know, okay, I didn't have a ton of money. It lasted for a little bit. Then I had to get a job while I was there. I was working on a tree farm and all that. I found my way to Melbourne, Lily, and they have a casino there. And at some point in this trip, I mean, I'm months in at this point of living in Australia, but we were like, let's go to the casino. Let's go check it out. I'm like, all right. And it was not my first time at a casino. I believe I had been in one and played in Canada, but maybe it's my second or third time. And I'm there and I'm feeling good. And I'm like, oh, what's this roulette game all about? What? There's black and red. Oh, yeah. Oh, what? I just got to pick one and I can double your money?
Simple.
That's easy. And again, I don't have a lot of money. I'm getting by in Australia, but hey, let's do it. Let's throw 50 down. Let's just double that up real quick. Threw it down on red or black. I can't remember which one. And sure enough, the other color came up. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just beat the system here. I'll just double it again. Get my money back. Went to 100.
Smart.
Whoops, that's a loss. Well, let's just go get some more money out real quick. Yeah, I got some more money. Well, let's just put 100 down. I'll double that up. Get it right back. Whoop, got the 200. Okay, interesting. 3 losses in a row. No one's ever lost 4 times in a row at this game. Seems impossible. So basically, another 200 down, lost again, and then literally couldn't believe what I had just done. And was in shock and, embarrassed, sick to my stomach with what... I mean, this all happened in the span of like 10 minutes tops.
Yeah. Oh,
maybe a little longer because I had to go get money out. That's... That backfired. I thought I would be going to that casino making some money. Instead, I lost, you know, a month's rent of pay there.
Sad walk back to the tree farm.
Brutal.
Axe on the shoulder. Just walking down the road. God. Can't afford a cab.
Oh, my God.
You know how many trees
I'm going to have to plant to make this up? But anyway, it was a good life experience to sort of get that out of the way early. In the end, I lost whatever, a couple $100. It was like felt like thousands upon thousands of dollars at the time, but was like, oh yeah, no, they. This is stupid. This is, you can have fun here when you have money that you do not care about. But otherwise, yeah. Not a good idea.
You think you've climbed out of the hole since then?
I just got out. 20 years later, almost 20 years till the summer, actually, we're looking at here. I'm back, baby. That's why I'm in a Top Shot now.
Yeah, I love it. Nothing similar could ever happen. No. JD, what's up?
Every time I've given up on my brilliant strategies when it comes to, you know, when you go to a fast food restaurant or anywhere where there's multiple lineups but behind a cashier, like grocery stores, whatever, yep. And you're always sort of scanning and looking, yeah, and seeing, all right, that guy looks fast, he doesn't have a lot of stuff or whatever, always backfires. Oh, yeah. Like 100% yeah, of the time. So now I just go into Zen mode and I just try not to care of seeing all the lines go past me, you know, very, very fast. The only thing that I picked up over the years is never stand behind a construction worker in a Tim Hortons line.
Oh, 100%. Because they're ordering 100 things.
Exactly. They're ordering for the entire crew.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the only advice I can give. But brilliant strategies and plans don't work in that scenario. So don't even bother.
That's a great life hack there too. A nice tip, I think. Just so you know, you're judging a book by its cover too in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Either the people in front of you, like that are the customers, or a lot of times I'm like, oh, that cashier looks slow or fat. But you're right, something always changes. So
yeah. Oh, the border is another one. You know, when you're crossing that rainbow bridge or whatever, and there's 15 different things, and it's chaos, and the cars are just—it's just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go right here, and I don't care. I don't give a crap, man. It's gonna be fine. I'm gonna get across this border. It doesn't matter. Does not matter.
Lee, what's a plan you've had that's backfired?
Yeah, it was one day. I was about, I don't know, 2021 or something like that, and I was with some friends. It was a weekend, and we were like, "What are we going to do? Like, we go to the same bars all the time. What are we going to do?" I said, "Let's go camping. I know this spot. I know it's a really good place near a lake." And they're like, when have you ever been there?" I said, "We went there. I don't know, when I was a kid or something like that. I know where it is. Not too far away. About an hour drive." The boys were a bit not really convinced of I knew where I was going. So we loaded up the car, took my car, put the tent in, put a few things in the back there. And I drove to where I sort of thought it was. And, you know, turns out I didn't really remember where it was. But I drove down this, like, unsealed road. And the more I was driving down, I was just like, oh, where the hell was it? Where the hell was it? Anyway, then the car kind of got stuck, and I was like, oh my God, how can I get out of this now? And I was like, sorry, fellas, I don't know what I was doing. And they got pretty upset, as you can imagine. And then one of the other guys had to jump in. Big Bez had to jump in and back the car around because I couldn't get it out of the spot we were in. So we ended up driving just back to Sunny Sunbury and went to the same bar we were going to go anyway that night. So
truck full, like, camping gear.
Yeah, exactly. I was just like, all right, yeah, we didn't go camping a lot after that. I don't think we ever went again, in fact.
Oh, man. Did they move the lake or what?
I don't know. I think we were kind of hungover, and I remember when we were a kid, I was like, I remember Dad took us to this place. We're going to go fishing and everything. And I was like, I kind of know where it is, but, yeah, the road's changed. And, you know, it was like 10 years ago.
That's incredible.
I'm sure it's still there.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right.
Unsealed road.
Unsealed road, yeah. People are loving their uncooked carrots on the unsealed road. Cruise by Skeets, just walking sadly back. Tree farm. Got a bagel full of tools.
I'm just glad Big Bear's got the car at us. I'd still be there, I think.
All right, question number two. Whoops, just opened Apple Music. On Thursday's show, we heard from the New York Daily News' Stefan Bondi that some Knicks fans were taking off their shoes and waving them around during New York's Game 2 win. Fellas, what's the strangest celebration you've ever seen? Skeets.
I don't know if it's the strangest, but when we played volleyball in high school, one of our celebrations, if you want to call it that, was anytime somebody on our team got an ace, we would all go, huss, 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 huss. Why? Why did Trey? You're nodding your head. Is that a volleyball thing? Like, what does it even mean? I actually never cared to ask anybody. Why are we saying "puss" and doing like this with our hands?
See, our girls' team did not have the same. We didn't have boys' volleyball at my school, but they definitely did something for their aces where it was like very similar. Like they would all come into like a group. You know, they'd be circling up and they'd be like, "Oh," or whatever. Mm. You know, they would all jump in the middle and clap. I guess it's a big moment in a volleyball match. You gotta celebrate the aces.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get celebrate, but why are we saying huss, and why were we doing this? This is the part I don't get. Because in volleyball, you high-five, and you get together after every single play. Like, everything you celebrate in volleyball, which is actually fun. I like that part, but yeah, the aces. We would drop the huss. My buddy Dub probably knows the answer to this. I should have texted him. But that was strange. That's weird, and we always did it. I still do it to this day if I ever see a volleyball ace. I drop a huss.
if I ever see a volleyball.
How often do you see it?
You're trying to protect your hands.
I will sometimes, JD, when I'm going for runs, stop and watch the odd beach volleyball game going on. There's some great beach volleyball courts in Atlanta. I'm always longing to play. I can't find enough people that want to play with me. Mm. Like, every time I bring it up with you guys or other people, other friends, like, everyone's just like, yeah. No one is like, yeah, let's go. Let's do it. It's people are just like, that's tiring. I don't want to go.
You want to go two-on-two? Me and you, we could be Judd Bushler and Karch Karai?
Hell yeah, I want to play two-on-two. That's exactly what I want to do.
I don't know. It seems like you got to move a lot, though.
You do.
Two-on-two.
It's a very, very difficult workout, which is why I want to go do it. But anyway, yeah, that's when I see it, JD. Every once in a while, I'll stop and you know, see a power ace, and I'll just be standing there going, huss, huss, huss.
That's our local ace appreciator.
Yeah.
He showed up again.
Yep.
JD, strange celebration.
Yeah, so it was October 23rd, 1993. I was working at Eastside Mario's, and Tass, you may remember, but you all may remember, that was the night that Joe Carter crushed a three-run homer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
in the ninth inning of Game 6 of the World Series to win the second World Series in a row. And as I said, I was working at Eastside Mario's, which is like a cheesy Olive Garden-type Italian restaurant that has bric-a-brac all over the walls. And I was and part of the bric-a-brac was these massive cans of olive oil that were kind of glued in place on the shelves, right? Like as if they were part of, you know, the stock or whatever. Right. Anyway, the place goes absolutely bonkers, obviously. But this one guy was turned around and started punching the can of olive oil. Like,
was it Popeye?
Was it like squirting out of it? You know,
well,
like,
that I mean,
the seal?
Yes, it punctured, and I didn't even I thought they were props, but they were actual cans of olive oil, and he destroyed them. And I'm like, "What are you doing, man?" Like, and then he just his knuckles were bloody from it.
Yeah,
which was
pumped up, man.
Very weird. It was a weird celebration.
Yeah.
Mario must have been pissed.
Oh, yeah. Dennis Hansen, the owner, he was not happy. Get that guy out of here.
Oh, Dennis.
Were you security in the matter, JD?
Yeah, well, I was the bartender, so yes.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Yeah, I had to ask him to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
See ya, buddy.
Yeah.
Lee, you got us. Strange celebration?
Yeah, you guys know I love Facundo Campaso. Well, there was another Facundo before him, Facundo Sava from Argentina, who played soccer for Fulham. And every time he scored a goal, he had a mask in his sock, and he'd pull out the mask and put it on as his celebration. So he'd score, dip into his sock before his teammates sort of all mobbed him, and put it on and just run around with a mask on.
Like a Zorro mask?
Yeah,
thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like the cool Kyrie mask that he wore in Madison Square Garden. Like
mask.
That. Yeah.
Cool.
Like, he didn't score all that many goals, but every time he did, he pulled it out, and I was like, wow, that's crazy.
So you're saying there's probably lots of games where he's just running around with a mask out there?
In his sock, yeah. Which is like, cool. Imagine that, before you're getting ready for a game. Hang on, just got to put my mask in my sock here, guys. Okay, thanks, Facundo.
Wasn't it, who was it? Chad Johnson? Ocho Cinco? Didn't he have a pen? Didn't he sign a ball once after a touchdown? Was that him?
Was it? Was that it? Maybe Terrell Owens. I don't know.
Oh, maybe
Terrell
Owens. He did the popcorn.
Ocho Cinco had one. Joe Horn had like a cell phone underneath.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The thing he like pulled it up and called somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe it was Ocho Cinco. That could be true.
Somebody signed a football. It. That's sort of badass. I like that.
Yeah, when you set out to score a touchdown and you actually do it, I think that's pretty cool to have an elaborate celebration planned. Our last rapid fire question: Friends, the reunion debuted on HBO Max this week. Apparently, Lady Gaga and Phoebe do a smelly cat duet.
Oh, I can confirm.
That's true. I watched it.
I watched it
with Nora. Yeah.
Yeah.
These fellas already watched the reunion, huh?
Yeah.
Had to.
Recommended?
Yeah. Wow, that was a quick yeah. I mean, I guess I was never not a giant Friends fan, but it's just pure nostalgia for sure.
Yeah.
Like there's no hard hitting questions within this. But they're pumped to be back together and stuff like that. Yeah,
I thought they did it in a good way, like a little bit of some throwback stuff, then talking about what they've been doing since, and put together well enough. Like, they didn't want to do an actual show. They just wanted to do more like a legit reunion. Like, we're getting back together and have some laughs. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
Hanging out with some friends. Can't wait to hear your review on Monday, JD.
Oh, I will not be watching that. I saw the screen grab of Lady Gaga on the couch with Phoebe. And I was like, already irritated. I was just, no thank you. No thank you.
Well, I'll be tuning in basically because I just saw this comment from Honeybun. Chandler is now the Joey of the group. Interesting stuff. Can't wait to see how that goes down.
Sure.
The actual question here: what's a TV show reunion you would like to see, Skeets?
I'll go The Starters.
Get these guys back together. Yeah, what happened to them?
Can we get us back together for one show on NBA TV? If we do, I'd like it to be one of the first season episodes, an hour long, and Jan the Pelican, Matty O would have to be included. He'd have to make it. There's a lot of like guest appearances on the Friends reunion, so that would be one. Mm. Like suddenly Matt as Jan the Pelican would walk in with a giant plastic fish in his mouth and stuff like that. So yeah, I'll go Starters.
I love it. We can get Danny the Pickle in as well.
Yeah, for sure. Like
Rick,
the cameraman,
all of the recurring characters. Yeah, that's a great idea.
For sure.
JD, I hope you don't have the same answer.
I do not. I was thinking of 90s shows that I loved, and the first one that I thought of was Mr. Show, which they've already done a reunion for, which is pretty good. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll go further back. So I thought Kids in the Hall, great show, love that show. They're doing a reunion as well, 6 episodes for Hulu, I think. They're shooting it right now. So, okay, so I'm going even further back. SCTV, one of my favorite shows as a kid. Comedy royalty, and it's never going to happen because John Kenny unfortunately has passed away, obviously, and Harold Ramis also passed away. But I mean, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Andrew Martin, Martin Short, Joe Flaherty. I mean, it would be amazing. And if you ever go back, I mean, I'm sure like I'm the old guy here, and I don't know if you guys ever watched that show, but it is one of the weirdest shows ever made. And they did not give a shit about it. Like, they would do whole sketches that would last the entire half hour. And this was one of my favorites, Magnum P.E.I. It's John Candy as Magnum P.E.I. I mean, it's just the best. And they didn't care about copyright. I watched that sketch, the Magnum P.E.I., this morning. And they legit used the theme from Magnum P.I. They don't.
Wow.
Care. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. We've never seen a CD box set of their stuff or anything because none of the rights. They just used whatever they wanted to use. They used Chariots of Fire back. They did a whole thing about Chariots of Fire, and they used the song, and they can't use it. Nobody will touch it. So, but I would love to see a reunion of that show.
It's a good one.
It's a great one.
Just thinking Canadian shows, JD, too. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. Have you ever watched Letterkenny?
I watched the pilot.
It's interesting. It's grown on me. I've seen a couple episodes now. Nora's watching it. The reason I bring it up is Melanie Scrifano is in it.
Oh.
She's in it. Yeah, who we worked with back in university. I guess she was one of the first people we cast. That's in, right. Something we did back then. But anyway, she's in it. She's great. Okay. But it's a funny show. It's set in Listowel, Ontario.
Yeah.
Which is really funny for me being from Stratford. Anyway, Letterkenny. Some of the people are loving it in the stream team. I guess it's got a Trailer Park Boys vibe to it, even way quirkier than that, I would say.
Yeah, it's very anything. It's excruciatingly Canadian, A, which always sort of turns me off. And B, it's very typewriter dialogue. Like, it's just nobody talks like that. The accents aside, nobody talks like that.
Yeah, for sure. Of course, they're leaning into the whole idea. I know, it does get better as it goes on, though. I think you should give it a little bit more of a chance. But maybe it's not for you. Anyway, Lele, take us home, man. What's your answer to this?
Yeah, this show I watched a couple of episodes of.
Oh boy.
It's a dumb answer. Paris Hilton's Best Friend Forever. It was the stupidest show.
the reality show where she's picking her best friend, her BFF.
Oh, one episode I'll never forget was the challenge for this episode was basically to get up and just tell Paris how inspirational she is and how much they loved her. One after, and she was just sitting there, yep, this is great. I was like, why am I watching this? But I couldn't turn it off. I just couldn't turn it off. Only lasted two seasons, I think. But, yeah. Wow.
What's it called again?
Paris Hilton's Best Friend Forever.
That's what it's called. Yeah. Wow.
Are the winners still best friends with Paris?
I mean, look, I've got to be honest. I don't really know how it ended. I did pull myself away from it after, like, a few weeks. But I just, like, how on earth is this show even a thing? But I was watching
it.
You know, that's how it's a thing.
Incredible.
What was her first show? Simple Life with Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie. Yeah. Get them back together. They were good TV back
then. Totally. They were funny.
They're not friends anymore, I don't think, are they? I thought they fell out.
That's probably why she had to have that show where she picks a new best friend.
She had a vacancy as her best friend.
Who wants a reality show? Come hang out.
All right, guys. That's Rapid Fire. Nothing rapid about it, of course, but we had some fun. That is another Drop Podcast, another week of classics from your boys here at No Dunks. Thanks to everybody joining us here in the stream team. Subscribe. Leave your comments below. Help us defeat the YouTube algorithm. And make sure you smash that like button as well. Grab your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/nodunks, so they know that we sent you. They got good deals going on right there if you want to be a subscriber to The Athletic. And that's it, man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Lele, maybe see you down at the Fortress, maybe not. Otherwise, I'll see all of you guys and all of you listeners and watchers on Monday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, as we break down a very, very busy NBA playoff weekend. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, be our best friends forever and do all those things Skeets just said, that whole list there, all of those 10 things, and then send us a record of you doing it on social media. Check them all off. Do it.
Brace the weekend, people. You could stay.